Our store was expensive. I mean expensive. As anything would be if all its requests were for clothing in the colors of natural elements. The Duke wanted shoes the color of rock, so he could walk in the rock and not see his feet. He was vain that way. He did not like to see his feet. He wanted to appear, from a distance, as a floating pair of ankles. But rock, of course, is many colors. The distinction subtle, but it is not just one plain gray, that I can promise. And in order to truly blend, it would not do to give the Duke a regular pair of lovely, pure gray-dyed shoes. So we had to trek over as a group to his dukedom, a 3-day trip, and take bagfuls of rocks back with us, and then use them at the studio as guides. I spent 5 hours one afternoon just staring at a rock, trying to see into its color scheme. Gray, my head kept saying. I see gray. At the shop, in general, we build clothing and shoes, shirts and coats, soles and heels. We treat the leather, shape and weave the cloth, and even when an item isn't ordered as a special request, one pair of shoes or one robe might cost as much as a pony or a month's food from the market stalls. Most villagers do not have this kind of money, so the bulk of our customers are royalty, or the occasional wealthy traveler riding through town who has heard rumors of our skills. For the Duke's shoes, all of us tailors and shoemakers, who numbered about 12, were working round the clock. One man had the idea to grind bits of rock into particles and then add those particles to the dye washing bin. This helped a little. We attended visualization seminars where we tried to imagine what it was like to be a rock. And then, quietly, after an hour of deep thought and breathing, returned to our desks and tried to insert that imagery into our decisions about how long to leave the shoes in the dye bath. We felt the power of the mountain in the rock and let that play a subtle subtextual role. And then, once the dye had reached ultimate intensity, and once the shoes were a beautiful, pure gray, a rocky gray, but still gray, we summoned the color master. She lives about a half mile away in a cottage behind the scrub oak grove. We summon her by sending off a goat down the lane because she does not like to be disturbed by people, and the goat trots down the road and butts on the door. The color master set up our studio and shop in the first place, years ago. She has always done the final work. But she has been looking unwell these days. For our last project, the Duchess's handbag that was supposed to look like a just-blooming rose, she wore herself out thinking about pink and was in bed for weeks after, recovering. Dark circles ringed her eyes. She is growing older. Also, her younger brother suffers from terrible back problems and cannot move or work and lives with her, lying on the sofa all day long. She is certainly the most talented in the kingdom, but gets zero recognition. We, the tailors and shoemakers, we know of her gifts, but does the king? Do the townsfolk? She walks among them like an ordinary being, shopping for tomatoes, and no one knows that the world she's seeing is about 1,000 times more detailed than the world anyone else is looking at. When you see a tomato, like me, you probably see a very nice red orb with a green stem, fresh and delectable. When she sees a tomato, she sees blues and browns, curves and indentations, shadow and light, and she could probably even guess how many seeds are in a given tomato, based on how heavy it feels in her hand.